Succession number 28147, Reel 10.
We was given a little book, comes out about the pension book today. And if we hadn't got any work to go to, I could draw 29 shillings a week. Well, I wanted to go back to where I was working because I wanted to learn a little bit more than what I did know. So I went back to work for 30 shillings a week. So I, for 6 months, I worked for a shilling a week.
36
shillings a week, I'd get for doing nothing.
Yeah.
And
right.
I went to work for 30 shillings. So I worked for a shilling a week for 6 months.
Yeah.
Now, there was something else.
Have they all seen it? Have they, Dorothy? Do you want to do it here so everybody can see it? Have you all seen this nice cake?
Well, do you want to do it here?
Yes.
Yeah. I'll bring the...
What was it you wanted to ask? She says, when you were waiting to be demobilised, why didn't the army gather you all together?
In the one place.
Oh, no, I couldn't have done that for too many. You see, there was a demobilised depot at Alexandra Palace, but I had to go from Reading down to Thetford, if you ever heard such a thing. There was another one there, so I was demobilised at Thetford. You see, you couldn't go where you liked, you had to go where you was told.
Did they give you demob suits in those days?
Yes. I had it for about 3 months after I was demobilised before I got it. It's quite a good suit.
What, did they give you the trilby or did you have the soft cap?
No, they didn't give you a hat.
They didn't give you a hat?
No. Oh, quite a nice grey suit.
Yes.
But before I got it, I had to buy one for myself.
Your medal ribbons are they faded over the years? Your medal ribbons, are they faded over the years?
No.
You kept them well wrapped, did you?
Well, they've been wrapped. I've worn them sometimes. I've worn them 2 or 3 times on Remembrance Day when we were going to church.
Yeah.
So I've got past, so I can't parade now.
No. Yes, I'd be interested to have a look at them.
Yes, I'll bring them. Welcome.
My father had a set of miniatures.
Oh, yes.
Done for my mother.
Yes.
And my mother used to wear them when they went out.
A lot of people had
to the mess and things like that. She had them. My eldest brother's got those now. He's got my father's medals and mother's.
When I was in the Cambridge years, I bought both for my fiancé and my mother just the regimental colours, in a row.
What were the colours? What were your colours, incidentally?
I couldn't tell you, not on the Cambridge years, I said no more. Because I wasn't in the Cambridge years, really not.
No, you were in the...
See, I got transferred. But I've got a tie which I wear at times. When I... it was the colours of the Berkshire regiment.
Oh.
I got a Berkshire tie. Well, I wear it
nice.
At times.
Childhood and his very early memories. I think probably I'll just leave the rest to you, Will. Yeah. All right, thank you.
Well, what I'm going to talk to you about, Janet asked me if I would give a talk if I remembered my school days. Well, after thinking it over, I agreed to do so. What I'm about to tell you goes right back to the 1899. That's a long while. And I'll explain after why I say 1899. But I should tell you all about my school days. I will try to explain the places and also I will tell you about what London was like in the 1900s. So now, I was born on the 12th of March, 1897. I was born in Islington, London, in a street which is called Blundell Street. There were two other streets, or one street and one road, off of Caledonian Road, which runs from King's Cross to Holloway. And these three broke off from Caledonian Road. And on the other side of Caledonian Road is Pentonville Prison. You've all heard of Pentonville Prison. Well, the first half of Blundell Street was what do we call them now? I've lost my word. It was filthy and everything else. All you could say. The women, that was the first half of Blundell Street. The women stood outside all day long, chatting with each other. I don't think they ever had any work to do. The children were in rags, no shoes or stockings. So you can tell what a place it was. And then, from that end, halfway up, there's a stone, a brick wall, about 3 or 4 yards long, and a high wall, very high wall, and over the other side, deep down, is where the trains from King's Cross to Scotland go into a tunnel. From that wall onwards, it was quite a different Blundell Street. There were people all lived there. They never spoke to each other. You didn't know anyone there, only by sight. And some other, odd cases. But you never saw them ever talking on the door. they would go out the back and they'd talk to each other, the neighbours, over the wall. All those houses down that side had, they're all joined together. They were three storey high. On the ground floor, there was a passage from the front door. Well, that was the only door into the street, naturally. And then there was a passage. And on the left-hand side of that passage were two rooms. And on the front then, as you went straight away down the passage, there was a kitchen and scullery and a door leading out to the left into the yard where there was a flush toilet. On the other side of the hall, there was a flight of stairs that went up, and there was the first landing. The landing was quite large enough to put up a single bed and a chair. On that floor, there was just the landing, the front room, which my parents used as a parlour, and a smaller room, which they let to an old lady by the name of Mrs. Mitchell. Then there was another flight of stairs up to the top floor. There was another large landing and two rooms up there. I might say that round the landings was banisters so children couldn't fall over. Well, to begin with, I wanted to try to make you think that I was a lovely boy. But my sister, who was 17 years older than me, said I was a little devil. But I'll leave you to judge. And one morning, my sister, as I said, she was 17 years older than me, and I'm talking about a thing which I think must have happened when I was about 2 years old. And I can tell you afterwards why it must have been when I was 2 years old. She was going shopping for my mother. She got a basket, the same as you see there, with a handle over the top with a basket. And she took me with her. I often think when I've been up at Tesco's and watched the young women with little chaps, the girls too, of course. But my sister, she took hold of my hand and she matched her time to my time. But I've seen at Tesco's when they get out of the cars, they get out of the poor little beggars and go full tilt, dragging a child behind them. That's what it is today. It's quite different in my day. Well, we went down into Caledonian Road, into the shops. And after she'd finished her shopping, of course there was trams running up the Caledonian Road. And at that time, they had no stops. If you wanted a tram, you simply put your hand up and the tram stopped. Well, after she'd done her shopping, she turned to go home. And I said to her, "Nell, I want to go on the tram." and she said to me, "You can't go on the tram, we're going home." Well, I made no more ado, I put my finger up, and the tram stopped. Oh dear, wasn't I in trouble? "You're not going on the tram," she said. So I thought to myself, well, I don't look as if I shall, I suppose. So I squatted down in the on the pavement. There was people all around. She tried all ways to get me to get up and go on. She couldn't make it, make me go, and people kept looking, I suppose. So in the end, she picked me up, tucked me over her arm, head out one way, legs out the other, and put her arm through the basket, so she'd catch me on the hand that way, and away we went home. But I don't remember, I wasn't old enough. But they tell me that my father, who was on a sick list, was sitting at an open window up in the parlour, and saw her coming with me, and he shouted to her, "Make him walk." She shouted back at him, "If you're so clever, you come down here and make him walk, or I can't." And I got so near home, then I wriggled and got out of her arms and rushed to the street door, pushed it open and went, and when she got there, I was sitting like a good little boy on the chair. I'll give it to you whether I was good or bad. And that was the time, that time, when there was the London bugs. Now you've all heard of them, I'm sure. There wasn't a street or a house in London that hadn't got bugs. They were bloodsuckers, that's what they are. And they lived mostly in the beds. And that was the time when the old wooden beds were done away with. And the iron beds came into fashion. My parents had two or three single iron beds, and they had a double iron bed with brass knobs on each corner. I expect you've seen them. And my mother, she was a very persistent and clean woman. And when she made the beds of a morning, she always hunted and looked for any bugs. If she saw only one, she made no more ado. She'd strip the bed, take it all the washing out, and put them in the scullery, in the basin, wash basin, and that. And in the corner of the scullery, there was a copper. It got a copper in it. And that was always full, kept full of water, and got a wooden lid on the top. And the fire was always laid ready when it was wanted. And when she'd put those clothes into the sink, she'd light the fire and boil the copper. And when the copper was boiling, she would dump all the clothes straight into that. I don't know how long she boiled them, but after a time, She squeezed them and she brought them out and put them in the sink and rinsed them and then squeezed what water she could and then went outside into the yard where we'd got a mangle and she used to run them through the mangle and then hang them out to dry in the yard. In the later days, I had the job of turning that mangle. And that's how she kept fairly free of bugs. Well, now I'll tell you why I reckon that when I sat on that, I was 2 years old. I had to go to school when I was 3, and that was before I was 3. The authority which had powers of education for all young people in London was the School Board for London. And opposite where we lived was the big school. And across the top had got, in brickwork, the School Board of London. Well, you had to go to school, as I say, for 3. If you didn't go, there was a man who used to go to your parents, a man who we called the school hunter. He would go and warn them that your child is not to school, and that was that, unless they didn't send them to school or the child played truant, so he wasn't at school, she either wasn't at school, then they prosecuted the parents. What the fines were, I don't know. Now, I'm going to tell you about the school now. There was a ground, on the ground floor were the infants. The first floor was the boys, and the top floor, the girls. The average number in a class, they didn't call them classes, they were standards. In a class, or standard, the average number was 30 and over. No, 60 and over. Well, I was in the infants, and the further side, looking at the school, on the right-hand side, at the bottom was the infants' playground. On the other side, the left-hand side, was the boys' playground. And right on top of the school was the girls' playground. And round the top of that was iron railings, so they couldn't come over. And I remembered when I got to the boys, the beggars, they got on top and they used to throw things down at us boys at the bottom. But I'm just jumping the gun. I went to school at 3. And after you were there a little while, you sat in two of you in a little desk. And they would make you put your arms on the table like that and then put your head down and go to sleep for 5 minutes. That happened during the morning and also during the afternoon. Well, that caused another hazard for my mother. because the children of the other end of the boat, that he boat in the slums, they came, and if you got one of them and you got your head down like that, what happened? The lice out of their head and got into yours. And that was a regular thing every night. My mother would sit in her chair, put a clean white apron on, and I can remember I had to kneel in front of her, and she got a very fine tooth comb, a lice catcher. It was a very close teeth on both sides of it. And I had to stand in front of her, and she would comb my hair with this. Sometimes she'd get some, sometimes she didn't. But I used to kneel, and we head over her as she combed it. And if one dropped onto there and I could see it, I'd say, "There's one!" And she'd kill it. And that's how she can then with that. And washing my head and baths, how she kept us children clean. It was a pretty heavy job, one way and another. Well, I don't remember much more then. I might say that the entrance to the boys' ground